morning, everybody. Good to see you here today. Good to have you with us. Thank you all for that song. Thank you, Sarah, for singing. If you have your Bibles with you, open them to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're in the 12th chapter this morning. Lord willing, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. And I'd thought seriously about just bringing a message on verse 1. And that one phrase, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, and then bringing the rest of it. And then I realized he says the same thing with that phrase in verse 6, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. The key is that little phrase, remember your Creator. A very rich statement. But I decided to go ahead and do all 8 verses. And I may next week do that. I hadn't decided yet. But Solomon's getting to the end of the book, as you can see, and he's going to conclude, and he's coming with some strong conclusions. And today's is that we remember our Creator. And what does that mean? Well, we're going to take a look at what the Scripture reveals about it, okay? So let's pray. Lord, we come before your throne of grace, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and your love, and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to take a look at your Word. We pray, Lord, that you'd open our minds and hearts to your truth, that you would direct me as I teach, that you would keep me from error, help me to rightly divide your word of truth, to explain it clearly and accurately, and in such a manner that your people can receive it, put it to use in our life, and better live and serve you, and bring glory to you, Father, we do pray. Lord, I thank you, and I praise you, and I ask this of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon begins here where he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, why do we need to remember our Creator? Well, he's going to tell you right there in the second half of that verse. He said, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. What he's talking about is remember your Creator when you're young because death is going to come one day. There's going to come a day when it's time to die, and when that day comes, you will have no pleasure in that day. No physical pleasure is the idea. Spiritually, as a believer, it'll be a day of celebration. But physically, you'll be making that transition from the physical realm into the spiritual realm, and you'll be leaving the physical realm behind, and there's no desire for it. I've seen that numerous times, having pastored 27 years, I've seen a lot of people pass away. I've been there when they die, at that moment of death. I've talked with people just days before they died or hours before they died. And there's one central theme that comes true and through every single time. And that one theme is this: I'm tired of living. I'm done with living. And many times, you see it even in disease. You see it in old age, but you also see it in disease. When someone has cancer, or most often it is cancer, or some serious disease of that sort, and they've been through all the treatments, they've been through all the opportunities to try to save their life, and they're at that stage where their life is finally ebbing away. They'll say, I'm tired of fighting, I'm tired of the struggle, my body's worn out, and I'm ready to go. It was illustrated just recently when Jack Folsom died. I spoke to him about a week before he passed away, and he told me, he said, I've done everything I've wanted to do in life. He said, my body's shot. He said, there's nothing more that can be done, and he said, I'm ready for the Lord to take me home. My grandmother spoke to her just day before she died, and she woke up, and she looked at me, and she said, I'm tired. She said, I'm tired. This is it. It's over with. No pleasure in those days, but great pleasure in the spiritual realm. No pleasure in the physical realm. Solomon says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. That word remember in the Hebrew is the word zakar. And it doesn't mean to just have a jogging of the mind. It doesn't mean, oh yeah, I remember like where I put my glasses, or oh, I remember where I put my cell phone. It's not that kind of remember. The word remember here, it means to have a wholehearted commitment to love, serve, and fear God. That's what it means. When he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, he's saying, get committed to the Lord when you're young, love him, serve him, and live your life in fear of him. Now, to live one's life in fear of God means to live with respect toward God, to understand God's rightful place, that he is sovereign over creation, that he holds your life and my life in his hands, that the most vital means of sustaining physical life within me are in the hands of God. He controls my breathing. He controls my heartbeat. He controls my brain waves. He controls all the critical aspects of my life. Therefore, I live my life at his hand, by his sovereign grace, by his personal desire, I live my life. And Solomon says, you live that life in fear of God. That means I respect God. It means to prioritize the Lord over your life. It means that God's more than just a Sunday morning God to you. Okay? It means that he's more than just singing a song to. It means that your life, your family, all that you are is put under his control. Your job, your career, everything that you have, you recognize, I live because God has granted me life and my life belongs to God. I'll live my life in respect and in awe of God and in devotion to God and with a focus upon God is the idea. He says, do that in your youth. Why does he say, do that in your youth? Well, he's going to get on to that in just a minute. But this is coming from Solomon. That's something we need to understand. Solomon is moving towards the end of his life, and he's recorded this aspect of his life when he lived in indulgence. But Solomon came from a good background. He was the son of David. Solomon built the greatest temple that Israel's ever seen, probably. The greatest wealth they've ever set their eyes upon. So Solomon speaks from a point of experience. Solomon has walked this road before. But Solomon, as he moved in his life, began to compromise. He began to round the corners, if you will. He began to shade in the open areas with things that didn't please God. He began to intermarry with other women. And then his heart began to move away from God. And then moving away from God, he began to bring everything in his life to replace God. And yet he comes to the end of it and says it's all vanity. It's worthless, meaning it does not satisfy. It has no lasting value. And every time I read that, you know what I think of? I think of a Chinese dinner. I mean, boy, you can gulp that thing down and tear into it. And you walk out of there, and my old belly will be bowed out like this. And boy, about an hour later, man, I'm tearing through the cabinets looking for something to eat. I don't know what's the deal with that. But it doesn't last. That's what Solomon says. Man, it's great. You get it in, it feels good. And I was like, oh, man, I'm hungry. I got to get more. I can't get any satisfaction. We see it today in life, folks. We see it in Hollywood. We see it in athletes. We see people that have everything you could ever want in life, and their life is empty. They crash through drugs or through suicide or just waste themselves away for no reason. And yet you say, man, they had everything. They had everything but a life devoted to God. Everything but a life devoted to God. And Solomon says, you remember God when you're young. You commit yourself to him then. When you're young, make wise decisions that will abide a lifetime. You realize that as a young person, and those of you in here that are in high school and college, listen to me. Don't be texting each other and stuff, but listen. Listen. Some of the most important decisions you'll make in life are going to be made when you're young, and you're least qualified to make those decisions. What kind of career are you going to take? You know, a lot of young people, when they graduate, one of the first questions people ask, well, what are you going to do now? Well, it's summertime. I'm going to take it easy. It's been hard being a student. I said, no, hard's fixing to start. I look back and being a student and studying, I wish I had that to do again. Just to study books and party and live the college lifestyle with friends and stuff. Boy, it don't get any easier than that, folks. But say, what are you going to do? Say, I don't know. But you realize that as a young person, you'll make decisions about what career you're going to take. I remember making that decision. I remember when I graduated high school, I wanted to go into the United States Marine Corps. That's what I wanted to do. And went down, I was about ready to enlist, and the Marine recruiter of all people told me, have you ever considered going to college? He said, you scored pretty high on this test. You might consider that. And I said, well, I'm enrolled, supposed to start A&M in the fall. But I said, I was thinking about just going in and getting a jump start on it. He says, try it. Give it a shot. And I did. And I got commissioned. I figured I'd stay in the Marine Corps until I was 65. That's mandatory retirement age. I said, that'd be 43 years after I graduated. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't have plans for nothing else. That's all I wanted to do. And the Lord changed those plans. I was injured. I couldn't stay on active duty. I had to get out. Had to start a whole new career. Got saved. But God had different plans. But we make decisions when we're young that are going to be our decision for life. What are we going to study in college, for example? Who are we going to marry? Who our life partner is going to be? We make those decisions at a time and a stage in our life when we're probably least equipped to do it. But if you have a relationship with the Lord, He will guide you into those decisions. He will direct you into those decisions. And Solomon says, you remember Him when you're young. There's another reason to remember the Lord when you're young. To commit yourself to Him. To love Him and serve Him and fear Him at a young age. You know why? Because when you get old and you get further down the line, you're less likely to have the time or the desire to do it because you hadn't built a life on it. It's a difficult thing to do. Plus, when you get older, your life is used up. God wants the best years of our lives. He doesn't want what's left over at the end. And many people say, well, you know, when my kids are out of the house, I'm going to get committed to the Lord. Or when I do this or I do that, I'm going to get committed to the Lord. Commit to the Lord right now. Commit yourself to Him right now. Be sold out to Him. Every one of us in here that names the name of Christ as our Savior should be committed in our hearts to the Lord. That means our families, that means our finances, that means our jobs, that means everything that we do should be committed to Him. As men, we should be leading our homes as Christian men and fathers. Instead of being deadbeats, like so many are, it is our responsibility as men to step up and to lead our families and to guide our families and to input into our children godly values. That's not an option of a father. That is a requirement of God. And many men tell me, well, I just don't know what to do. Well, you better crack the Bible open and start reading what to do. You better learn what to do. You better get under teaching where you can find out what your responsibility is. Because the next generation coming up is shaped by the generation that's here right now. And we've got to leave a godly heritage. You've got to be committed to the Lord. That's what Solomon's saying. Commit yourself to the Lord because there's going to come a day and time when you can't. Age is going to set in. Your years are going to drift away. Look what he says. Verse 2, the aging process. While the sun and the light, let's back up and put it in context. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened. and the clouds do not return after the rain. What's he talking about? He's talking about there's going to come a day when everything is darkened, is the idea. The sun is going to set on your life. Every one of us is headed down that road, is what he says. He says, in the days when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down. What's he talking about there? The keepers of the house tremble and strong men bow down. When he talks about the keepers of the house tremble, he talks about the aging process and how our arms and hands will begin to shake and we become feeble as age sets in. The keepers of the gate begin to tremble and they're bowed low. As the aging process progresses, what happens? We become stooped in the way we walk. I remember both my grandfathers. My one grandfather was a shipbuilder, and the other grandfather was a bricklayer. Big, strong, powerful men. Both of them over 6'2", just strapping men. I look at pictures of them when they were young, and they look like Greek gods. I mean, their bodies, they were physically fit men that were strong. I remember my grandfather, bricklayer, laying stone. And he took me out to the job site one day to show me what he was doing. And I was about a 14-year-old boy, and I couldn't even budge one of those stones. And I said, how do you lay those? And he said, like this. And he lifts this stone up and puts it in place. I was shocked at the strength of that man. My other grandfather is a shipbuilder, working on those metal ships and big oil tanks down there in the Beaumont, Port Arthur area, down there in those shipyards. Heavy steel beams, worked his tail off all day long. Both those men, big men. And then I remember them at the end of their life, hands shaking, arms shaking, and they're all bent over. They're wore out. They're wore out. That's the aging process that sets in. Solomon says, in the days when the keepers of the gate tremble and the strong men bow down. No matter how strong that man is, if he lives out his life, he'll come to the end and he'll be stooped, bent, and shaken and feeble. That's just a natural process of aging. And every one of us in here, if we live to be old, we'll experience that in our life. That's what Solomon's saying. He says, and the grinders cease because they are few. Your teeth fall out. The grinders are your teeth. And they cease grinding because he's not talking about East Texas, folks. He's talking about people with good teeth that wear out and fall out. That they're going to be few. The grinders cease. Get to a stage where you can't eat what you used to could eat. You can't enjoy it. A natural process of the body is that those parts of the body start giving way. And those that look through the window grow dim. Your eyesight begins to get poor. I've noticed this in my own life. Right about at the age of 40, it's like all of a sudden I needed reading glasses. And the other day, I got a fishing rod, and it comes with a warranty, and the lady at the register said, if you'll send in this little number, you can get the warranty done, and if this rod fails, you can get you another one. And she highlights the number, and I looked at it and go, there ain't no number on there. And my arms were not long enough to read it, and I had them out like this with my glasses on. I got home, and I had to get a magnifying glass, and there was numbers there. And so I plugged the numbers in and emailed it in and got registered and everything. What happens is your eyes go bad. That's why the Bible speaks so much about blindness. Because they didn't have eyeglasses. You imagine that. And what happened is many people, even some from a young age, would go blind because there was no way to help their eyesight. But even with the assisting of eyesight, that vision starts growing dim. Things start fading out, is what Solomon says. He says, when the doors are shut, verse 4, in the street, and the sound of grinding is low. What's he talking about? Your hearing gets bad. You can't hear what you used to could hear out in the streets. It sounds like everything's shut out. And you think, my, it's quiet outside. It's just because you can't hear. When one rises at the sound of a bird, what's that mean? talking about the inability to have deep sleep. That many times when a person ages, one of the things in the aging process is just a chirping of a little bird will wake them up. It doesn't take much to startle them. And they rise early because they can't sleep. And the daughters of music are brought low. The voice begins to quiver and weaken. This is all natural process of aging. It all begins to progress that way. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. As you age, what happens? You become much more cautious about what you do. You're afraid of falling, so you don't want to get in a high place. Everything around you is a potential trap to cause you further pain and discomfort. I was talking to a friend of mine, and at the time he was about 81. He was still getting around pretty good. And I said, how long do you think you're going to be able to go? Because we were riding horses at the time. I said, how long do you think you're going to be able to keep going? And he said, as long as something bad doesn't happen to me. He said, as soon as something bad happens, and he said, I bust a hip or a leg or get hurt somehow or take a bad sickness of some kind, he says, at my age, I don't know if I can overcome it. He said, I got to guard against that. And that's what Solomon says. Solomon says that they're afraid of height and terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, what's that mean? Almond trees are white. The blossoms are white. In other words, he said, when your hair starts turning gray. That's the process. He's hitting every stage along the way. And the grasshopper is a burden. What's he talking about? The grasshopper is a burden there. What he's talking about there, folks, is you ever seen a grasshopper when he's wore out? How he just lumbers along? When he's young and spry, what does he do? He shoots up into the air, his wings start beating, and he flies away. When he gets old, he just kind of wobbles along. That's what happens in old age. You get to where you just barely can get along. Just all bent down and broken up. That's a natural process in life. Solomon says, what happens is as you age, you begin to start having to pay more attention to your body and your ability to serve is diminished. That's what he's saying. He's saying, remember your Creator when you're young and you're full of energy and you have that strength and that ability and all that is required to do what you need to do. Don't push your relationship to God off to the end of your life is what he's saying. Don't do that. He says, and desire fails. Desire for what? Desire for everything that you desired when you were young. Exercise, food, sex, all these things that the young desire. He said, when you get old, he said, that desire fades. It fades away. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. You know what he says? He says, you're headed down that road to death. And unless you die early, you're going to experience this. I was attending a funeral not too long ago for a young man that was killed in a car accident. Died, I say a young man, he's 38. Died a young man, and one of the guys at the funeral made this comment to me. He said, man, that's horrible to die like that. There's no warning signs there. You know, if you have cancer, you're laid up in the hospital and you know you're going to die or something. Or if you're real old and you start getting sick, you know you're going to die. But he said, man, something like this, you don't know. There's just no warnings. I said, oh, there's tons of warnings. I said, life is full of warnings about death and our eternal destination. I said, every time you're going down the road, you see a funeral car pass by, a hearse. You see a cemetery. You attend a funeral. I said, this service here today is a warning for all of us. This is what I told him. I said, God put stop signs and caution signs all along the pathway in life. And he says, all this process here, he says, you can see it when you look in the mirror. It's God's signs along the pathway of life to say, your life is headed to your eternal home. That's what he says right here in this passage. For man goes to his eternal home. He says, and the aging process is a daily reminder for every one of us that we're headed there. I know young men are proud when they look in that mirror and that peach fuzz has gotten hard. And they're going to have to put a razor on it. They want them whiskers to grow. And you get my age and I wish I didn't have a whisker wand. Get tired of shaving every morning. But you know what those whiskers are a sign of? You're aging. You're getting older. Young people, as your body develops, you're getting older. You're aging. You're maturing is what's happening. And this is going to continue and continue and continue. You know what it is? It's a warning to let you know, even though you're full of energy right now and full of vigor and vim, it's a caution sign from God to warn you that, hey, you're not going to live forever. You're not immortal. You're not physically immortal. You're headed to your eternal home. And you know what? You better be ready. I mean, what kind of a fool, hear me, what kind of a fool would pass all those warning signs and not prepare for their eternal destiny? Get to the end of their life and say, you know, I wish I'd have served the Lord. You know, I really wish I'd have committed myself to the Lord. Do it now. You're not in here by accident today. You're here by divine appointment. This is but another warning sign in your life to tell you, hey, wake up. Wake up. And do what you should have been doing all along. Get committed to the Lord. Get demoted to God in all your life. Don't keep pushing it aside thinking sometime later, sometime down the road, I'm going to do it. Now, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to live out your salvation. Do it today. Don't sleep and slumber through life. Prioritize your relationship with the Lord. Make it number one in your life and live your life with that as your primary focus. Pursue that direction in life. Chase after that. Look at the last part of verse 5. And the mourners go about the streets. What is that? It means this. Man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Meaning they attend the funeral and what happens? Life goes on. I notice that every time I do a funeral, I ride in the front car when I go to the funeral that I do. The hearse is right behind us, family car right behind that, and then the rest of the family. And as you drive into the cemetery, do the graveside services, it's always interesting because you see kids running around playing and stuff. And it always strikes me, life goes on. Life goes on. While this family mourns, these out here are rejoicing and having a good time. And even after a funeral, boy, as soon as you get back, you go back to the family's house or wherever they're going to have the meeting or whatever, and you look at the kids. The kids aren't sitting around mourning the loss of someone. What are they doing? Fighting to see who's going to get the best seat on the swing. Because life goes on. Life goes on. That's the reality of life, folks. You will run your race. I will run my race. We will come to the end of our life. And life will go on. And you will go to your eternal home. I'll go to my eternal home. And the real issue then is, what did I do with my life and what did I do with God? Hear me? That's what's going to matter. All the things that you think are important in life, that's what's going to matter. That's all that's going to matter right then. That's it. That's not preacher talk. That's reality. That's God. That's what God says. God says, get your life right. Be an example for Christ. Live for the Lord. Devote yourself for something that has meaning and purpose beyond yourself. Something that's of eternal significance. Live for that. And live it with all your gusto, is what Solomon says. Because Solomon says, I've had all the other stuff. And at the end of my life, you know what I'm telling you to do? Don't make sure you piled up a bunch of stuff. Make sure you remember your Creator. Out of all the things Solomon could have told us, he says, remember your Creator when you're young. Commit yourself when you're young and move forward with it. Look at verse 6. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loose. The gold bowl is broken. The pitcher shattered at the fountain and the wheel broken at the well. Those are four things that pertain to one subject. The one subject is the gathering of water. Water is a metaphor for life in Scripture. And the ability to live life has ceased. The silver cord to pull the bucket up out of the well, the cord is broken. The golden bowl to gather the water is broken. The pitcher that you put the water into is shattered. And the wheel that the rope is dependent upon is broken. In other words, life is no more. Life has come to an end. And he says, remember God before your life comes to an end, is what he's saying. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Reality of life. He says the dust will return to the earth as it was. You go back in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, when God created the heavens and the earth, what did he do? He took dirt, and the scripture says that he formed man out of the dirt, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He gave man a spirit. Man became a living being at that time, and he named him Adam, Adam. Adam means red dirt. That's what man is. Man is but dirt that God has shapen and formed and breathed the breath of life in. And when man is buried, you know what happens? Your body will decay and it'll go back into the dirt where it came from. It'll go back down into the soil where it came from. But your spirit will go to God. And your spirit is the real you. Your body simply encases or houses your soul and spirit. Because the immaterial part of you, your soul and spirit, is the real you. Your physical body simply carries out what is inside of you. You understand? And that physical body is going to go one day. A physical body is going to return to dirt. And then you will go into the presence of God, and the real issue then is, what did you do for God when you were here? How many lives did you touch? How many people did you affect? Did you instruct your children in the ways of God? Did you influence your co-workers in the ways of God? Were you a positive influence for God? Did you live your life devoted to Him? So many people get caught up in the trivial insignificant. So many people never grow up to realize this. And you know what the biggest struggle we face in life is, folks? Every one of us in here? The biggest struggle in life we face is selfishness. We are at the core of our being selfish. We want our way and we want things like that. That's what we're interested in. That's why we have problems in marriages. That's why we have problems in relationships with other people. And that's why we have problems in serving God. Because we want to take all the time we have and use it for ourselves. God says, take all your time that you have and use it for God. And in the process of that, you will enjoy yourself much more. Wake up. Wake up. This is almost a funeral message in a good way. There's no box up here. There's no box with someone laying in it. But brother, I had to preach at a funeral. I'm telling you, it would. It's going to one day. I'm going to preach that at a funeral one day. Because that's the reality of life. Well, that's what we need to hear. We need to hear it when we're young. Solomon is saying, I've lived everything a person could live in life. And you know what the end result is? Verse 8. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, is all vanity. It's all futile. It's all empty. It doesn't fulfill. It doesn't last. He said, all this materialism is a Chinese dinner. He said, it doesn't last, brother. It doesn't last. He said, pursue God. Remember your Creator. Commit yourself to Him. Devote yourself to Him and serve Him. And apart from an early death, death is something that will greet all of us. I got a little excerpt here from a novel. I read this novel years ago called An Appointment in Samarra. And this is a synopsis of the narrative. And the speaker in this synopsis is death. This is death talking. And listen to what he says. There was a merchant in Baghdad who sent his servant to the market to buy provisions. And in a little while, the servant came back, white and trembling, and said, Master, just now, when I was in the marketplace, I bumped into a woman in the crowd. And when I turned around to see who it was I bumped into, I was looking death in the face. Eye to eye. Death looked at me and made a threatening gesture, and it scared me. And I ran back here, and I'm asking you, sir, lend me your horse. I want to ride away from this city and avoid my fate. I don't want to face death again. I want to go to Samarra, and there death will not find me. The merchants lent him his horse and said, that's a wise move, servant. If I was in your shoes, I would do the same. And the servant mounted the horse, dug his spurs in its flanks, and as fast as the horse could gallop, he went. And then the merchant, out of curiosity, went down to the marketplace to see if he could find death and perhaps have a conversation with her. And he saw me standing in the crowd. And he came up to me and said, Death, why did you make threatening gestures to my servant when you saw him in the marketplace this morning? That was not threatening, I said. It was only an act of surprise on my part. I was astonished to see him here in Baghdad because I've got an appointment with him tonight in Samarra. That's the reality of death. You can't beat death. It doesn't matter how many creams or pills or colors we put on it, folks. It's coming. They're all there to remind us. Every time we look at it, we should say, what am I doing for the Lord? It's a reminder. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Commit yourself to love and to serve God now and pursue Him with all your life. Let's pray. Father God, we come in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we pray. We pray that we would be people that commit ourselves to you, that we would take serious our relationship with you, and that you would be to us more than just a Sunday morning God. But that, Lord, that we would commit our lives to you and follow you and pursue you in all that we have. For it's